We continue now in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim with lesson number 18. Continuing deeper into the fifth perek with the fifth and sixth Mishnayos. So it's Perek Hey, Mishnah Hey, and Mishnevov. Mishnah Hey speaks of a Musaf Hatanur Shel Balei Botim. Musaf Hatanur, the Meforshim explain, that sometimes they would take the Kli Cheres and shmir, I'm sorry, they take the Tanur, which is of course made of Kli Cheres, and on the top rim of it, they would shmir on an extra layer around it of tit, of cement, of plaster of some sort. They would do that really to extend the height of the Tanur a bit. So this additional rim, protruding rim along the top rim of the tanur, if the tanur is owned by a balabayas, a simple person, a housekeeper, not a storekeeper, not a manufacturer of bread, but someone baking in his own or her own private kitchen, is therefore Musaf HaTanur Shel Balei HaBatim Tohor. It's not Mikabel Tuma. Because the Balabatim really don't need this extra Mosaf, this extra Musaf, this extra layer of around the rim. And therefore, it's not considered to be part of the Tanur. However, Vishel Nachtomin Tome, if this is a Tanur of a baker, a person who's in the business of baking, then it is Mikabel Tuma if the Tanur becomes Tome. Why? Mipnei Shehu Somech Alov Es Hashvut. And the Kama holds, because you have a baker who doesn't only bake bread, but he also and sells bread, but he also roasts meat in the tanur and sells the meat. So while the meat is waiting to be sold, he wants to keep it warm, but not continually cooking, or else it'll get too burnt. So he puts it on a shvud, upon a spit, a rod, a metal rod, along the top rim. So that top rim is this musaf. So he's using the musaf for a function of supporting this shpud, this long rod upon which the roasted meat is standing. So therefore it does have a function. So says the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandla Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandla says, no, there's a different reason why for the Nachtum, for the baker, this rim, this Musaf, is considered part of the Tanur. V'pnei shehu ofebo kishehu nitchak. Sometimes he has a lot of customers, he's really pressed for room, and there's not enough room in the actual Tanur itself, so he even bakes above the rim, above the tanur itself, in the space which is surrounded by this rim. And therefore he uses it mamish as a tanur, so it's part of the tanur. The Bartanura explains, and Meforshim explain, that Rabbi Yochanan Hasanla disagrees with the Tanakama. And he says, Somech alov es hashpud, because he occasionally uses it to put the shpud across the top of the rim, that is not enough of a function, because that's not the primary use of the tanur. The primary use of the tanur is baking, not holding and containing a rod, containing a shpud. So therefore, that's not a reason as far as he's concerned. The Tanakama object Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. They say that no, the smichas hashpud is considered a function of the tanur itself, but what he uses in a case of shas hadchak, once every 3 months, he's going to need extra room. That does not consider, that does not a sufficiently necessary function, an occasional function, is not necessarily sufficient of a function to make it part and parcel of the tanur itself. Kiyotze bo, the Mishnah continues, similarly, hayora, yora is a very large kettle in which you cook olive rinds after they've been squeezed. You still cook them up to get every bit of olive juice out of it. So you have a huge pot and you dump in heaps of zeisim and you do the procedure called shalika, which is more than bishul. You boil it over and over again. So some people use this yore for the zeisim. They are the sholkei zeisim. Some use it for tzavoyim. They are tzavoyim. They are dyers, D-Y-E-R-S. And they use it to cook up their dye. So the Mishnah says, if you have this yore, this big pot, kettle, and around it you have this musaf, this extra rim made of tit, of plaster. So, musaf hayore shel sholkei zeisim tome. If it is being used by sholkei zeisim for this boiling out or cooking out of the olives, then that musaf is considered a function, because the musaf is used for the same purpose as the yore itself. It's just used for extra room in order to cook the olives, to cook them thoroughly. So therefore, it is considered part and parcel of the yore, and it is mekabel tumah. However, v'shel tzavoyim, if you have the same situation, but the person who's using it is not an olive cooker, but he's a dyer, then tohor, it's not mekabel tumah. Why? Because the dyers don't use that rim. In fact, they are careful that the water not rise up above the surface, in which case they would need the rim to retain the overflowing water, because they want to keep the dye well within the limits of the yore. So therefore, this musaf is only being used that as a heating process is taking, something might leak out. But it's not being used for the purpose of the dyeing itself. So therefore, it is not considered a chibur to the yore. So it depends what you're using it for. The sholkei zeisim, who need this rim around it, this musaf, as they're cooking up their olives, for them, that musaf is considered part and parcel of the yore. However, the tzaboim, who don't need it on a regular basis, but only occasionally if the water overflows, but generally they're careful that this not happens. So therefore, it's not considered an essential part of the yore, and it does not become tome if the yore becomes tome. That's Mishnah Hey. Now, we continue to Mishnah Vov. Tanur, suppose you have a tanur. Now remember what a tanur looks like. It's an inverted cone lying upon the ground. And now, shenosan bo oforat chetzio, you fill it up until the halfway mark with earth. So you're essentially burying and rendering unusable the lower half of this tanur, because now it's stuffed, filled with ofor. And now, suppose the sheretz touches the inside wall of the upper half of the tanur, or is hanging suspended in the airspace of the upper half of the tanur. So, may offer ulematon mitame bemago. If the sheretz touched the inner wall of the upper half of this tanur, so then the entire tanur, even that which is below the surface of the stuffed earth, is tome. May offer ulemalon, but it is mitame bemago, meaning bemago only. But if a sheretz was dangling in the airspace of the upper half, then whatever is meyofer olamaton would not become tomid. Similar to Rab Meir's gzera, which we learned about in a previous Mishnah, in fact, in Mishnah Gimel. The distinction between whether the tumah came through maga or the tumah came from avir is true relative to the meyofer olamaton, to distinguish between a tumah derabbanan and a tumah deraisa. So meyofer olamaton, it is tome if there was maga lamaylo, so the lamata becomes tome a tumah derabbanan. If it was suspended meyofer olamaylo in the airspace, it is not tome below the earth, because you want to distinguish and say it's only a tumah derabbanan. However, meyofer olamalon, however, that space which is above the surface of the earth, the upper half of the tanur, is mitame bo'avir. If a sheretz is dangling in that space, that whole upper half becomes tame, because the upper part is a functional, real tanur. True, reduced in size, but still usable as a tanur. What is below the yofar is not, and therefore it is only tamei tumah d'rabbanon if the tumah happened to the upper half b'mago. Now, a different hechatimtza, a different scenario. This sano, remember, you take this inverted cone, and instead of placing it on the flat earth, you place it above a hole in the ground. So there's a big pit, and on top of the pit, you put this cone-shaped tanur. Now you have a lot of space in the tanur. You have that which is below the ground level, that which is above the ground level. This sano api habor. Bor is, as I defined it, a pit in the ground. Or alpi hadus. A dus is a cavity in the ground which is walled in, fenced in, cemented in. But for our purposes, it doesn't matter. You have a cavity in the ground over which you place this inverted cone equals a tanur. So, is it all one airspace? That which is below the ground level and that which is in the cheres, which is above the ground level? So, v'nosan shom even, if he placed between the tanur and the wall of the bor or dus a stone, so that the tanur is now tightly inserted in this over the space of the cavity in the ground. So it's all as if it's this one airspace, what's in the ground below the surface and what's up above the surface of the ground in the airspace of the tanur. And it's tightened because you're wedged in an even to tighten it, an even, a stone to tighten it. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Imasik milamaton v'hu nisok milamalon tome. If, when you put wood and coals, etc., at the bottom of the pit, and you heat up the bottom of the pit, it gets so hot that which is above the pit, the klicheres tanur, also becomes heated, then it is tame. Then the tanur is mekabel tuma, because it is considered part of the mechubal karka. However, if the heat of the fire below the ground level in the pit is not sufficient to heat up that which is protruding, the tanur klicheres, which is protruding from the ground, then the tanur is not considered mechubal lekarka, even though it's wedged in, and therefore eino mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah. However, the chachamim omrim hoil v'husak mikol makom tomei, as long as it becomes heated, to whatever degree it becomes heated by fire which is in the chalal hatanur, even though it's not mechubah to the karka, it is tome, it is mekabel tumah. And this is the distinction between the chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda. And so we have finished Mishnah Vov, and the process concluded lesson number 18.